This is Strange Harbor.
The evidence is overwhelming that what we were taught in school about ancient human civilization, particularly about the ancient Egyptians, is far from accurate. Specifically, that our true history was once far older and advanced than we ever thought possible. And the most recent scientific evidence further demonstrates that the Great Pyramid of Giza, Egypt, was not a tomb built for the pharaohs, but is literally a massive technological structure that is beyond our current understanding. You may have seen the news articles that reported on a recent study published in the Journal of Applied Physics, which showed that the Great Pyramid can concentrate electromagnetic energy inside of its internal chambers, as well as under its base and inside the subterranean chamber. Because of this discovery, which was based off calculations of the pyramid, we are able to advance nanosensor technology. So it just so happens that the largest and most mysterious structure ever built, done with extreme precision which mimics modern day laser cut technology, and they say that they did this with chisels and bronze saws. Those proposed methods have long been since debunked. Did you know that the location of the Great Pyramid of Giza, Egypt, just so happens to be the location that they were going to choose to be the prime meridian? It's funny how they never mentioned that not one single mummy was ever found in any of these pyramids ever. We don't even mention that in school for some reason. The most mysterious structure in the history of mankind just so happens to be located on this one unique spot. And here's another fact to add on top of that. The Great Pyramid faces true north almost perfectly. In fact, down to a fraction of 1 degree of accuracy. It just so happens that they are able to focus and concentrate on electromagnetic energy, which they are saying is going to help us advance our modern technology. Is it possible that the Great Pyramid of Giza was a power plant that somehow operated on the same premise that Nikola Tesla had theorized? I think that it's possible, indeed probable, that we are a species with amnesia, that we've lost the record of our story going back thousands of years before so-called history began. And I think if we could go back to that dark epoch, we would discover many astounding things about ourselves.
Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. This is Strange Harbor.
And another exciting episode of Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird.
The strange, the unusual, and the unpredictable.
Johnny and Billy here, and we like to talk about strange topics, UFOs, alien abduction, near-death, cryptozoology, conspiracies. And our guest today, my friend Keith. Keith, welcome to the show.
How y'all doing?
Good. It's good to hear from you, Keith.
I'm honored to be here.
Let's talk about some background before we get into the meat of this conversation. Is there anything that you could share with us without compromising anything about maybe your past employment that led you to some of the strange topics we're talking about today?
I worked Indian reservations for a government agency and tribal Native American agencies. And I landed on my first reservation in 1996, and it went from there. Went to some bunch of federal training, had a good time at those places, but it was once I got through training, I was rolling the roads and taking calls, and one of my first calls was a Bigfoot call. Probably 1990. This was last century, people. It's been a long time ago.
Right.
Summer of 98, I believe.
Okay.
I was patrolling with another officer, last name of Medicine Blanket, and we were out rolling around Pine Ridge. It was their fair and rodeo. Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. That's in South Dakota. It's about 3,500 square miles. And population, depending on the time of year, 25,000 people. Yeah, that can double in the summertime. We were out east of Pine Ridge taking this Bigfoot call, and there is a house out there. It's pretty much in the middle of nowhere, a couple of crossroads, and we got there. My dog wasn't doing anything. He wasn't too upset, but those dogs that were lived at this place with this family, they were underneath the steps, the porch. They were howling, they were crying. We got out, what's going on here? And Medicine Blanket, she goes, this is Bigfoot, remember? It's like, what? And she says, dogs don't like Bigfoot. So that's why they're there. And she got the flashlight in her hand, and this is right here. There were footprints. We followed these footprints around this house twice. And it would stand by a window, what we later found out was a bedroom window. And it, you could see where it kind of stood there and was shifting its weight back and forth. I'm going, and me, you know, not ever seeing or believing or anything like that, kind of, wow, what if we could talk to him? He looks at me, and at that time, other guys showed up, and they were calling it Sitanka. And Sitanka is Lakota for Bigfoot. And I said, yeah, probably. We followed it. Like I said, it walked around the house twice, and it went over to a ravine in the Badlands. And you could see in the sand there, in the dusty sand, it would took a few steps to the left, it took a few steps to the right, and it was looking for this place to, we later found out, looking for a place to jump down into the Badland Valley there and go to parts unknown. I looked at Marcella because I had this, I looked at medicine blanket and I said, I don't know if I can say this, but I said, go see if that lady's on her moon, which is her cycle.
Oh, right, right.
And she goes up there, and I don't want to ask her that. Dude, just go ask her. And so she goes up, and she's interviewing this victim of this strange encounter. And she comes back. She goes, how did you know? I said, just something, I don't know. It's just something the dude's looking for, man.
Right.
And everybody started laughing, and it's like, it was gone. It to parts unknown, and you know, we had other calls to go to. That was a very active place to work at. And we cleared it out and went about our business. I don't ever remember writing a report for that because it was just, there was no body. There was no serious bodily injury. There was, nobody got hurt. It was like, all right, we checked it out. We go. We closed it out as unfounded over the radio. And that was the start of strange calls like that. That was my first real holy cow.
Right.
There's a place out in, it's in the middle of the reservation on Pine Ridge. It's a family name. I don't want to say the family name, but it's north of Porcupine and off of Whitehorse Creek. Gooseneck Road. North of Porcupine, off of Gooseneck Road, there is a family that lives out there, and they have a sweat lodge back behind their house. And this was the other thing that I came up with. You know, they had frequent visitors by Bigfoot. And for some reason, or Sitanka, or for some reason, it didn't like their TV antennas. So whenever they would have a sweat, you know, the ceremony, usually the next day, it was all over, said and done with, everybody went home, but it was usually the next day, there's this three or four houses out there, and all their TV antennas would be busted off, but they'd be broke off 12 or 14 feet above the ground. And, you know,
wow.
Walk up and reach up and literally just snap it off.
Wow.
They tried putting it on a telephone pole. I didn't see this one, but I was told they tried putting it on a telephone pole, and it pushed the telephone pole over. There was another female though in that particular family. It had an liked her, shall we say? Because whenever Bigfoot come around, they back up. Whenever they'd have a ceremony, she would move from her house into her parents' house because Bigfoot would harass her. You know, she lived in a trailer, would rock the trailer, leave her. I've been told it would leave her stones and sticks and things, you know, gifts. In all fairness, this woman was like 6'2". So she was a moose, but yeah, that particular family out there, that was just something that they had to put up with. It never harmed them. But they all started laughing and said, hey, you know, Sasquatch is Bigfoot's girlfriend here. And so.
Did you ever once kind of just go, what's going on here? Did, at any point, did you think this was strange?
Well, that particular reservation is like no other. This yeah. government agency I was with, they would say, oh, you're Pine Ridge, okay. And they would just let it go at that.
Right.
And, but it was, got to the point where I was, they would have sun dances there, another ceremony. They would have healing ceremonies. They would have sweat lodges. And over the years, I'd get to know the medicine men, and they would say, yeah, this, you know, they would... They come through the opening that's created for the spirits. They run around for a while, find another opening, and they go back, which is really kind of surreal because that's what I was thinking. And it's, okay, they open these portals from another dimension. They hop through, run around, do what Bigfoot do, find another portal, hop back. And with as many ceremonies as they had there, it made sense to me. Okay, these guys are coming through, you know, because the portal's open, they're checking stuff out, running around, and they're going back. And they're just as scared of us as we are of it. But I've always said, every call I got was, hey, I'll talk to them, and away I go. He's up here on another reservation in the Northwest. There's his family. The one man in his family, he's a huge dude. He's huge, like guys like 6'6", just in raw, just huge, big old muscly dude. I'm just hanging out. I'd already done my checks on every place, and I'm hanging out by the at major intersection, and I see him come ripping down the hill. He comes pulling up to me, you know, facing opposite directions, and there's this cat, you know, he's all hunched over the steering wheel, and he's got grandma in the car, he's got mom in the car, he's got the kids, he's got the wife. He's got a couple dogs, and the dogs are howling. And, hey, man, what's up? And he's looking at me. He's all pie-eyed. And pretty soon, Grandma leans forward, and in the Salish language, she said, Bigfoot. And I go, oh, what's that? And this guy says, Bigfoot, backyard. I said, cool, I'm going to talk to him. And I put it in drive, and I went to tell him I'll be right back. He's all saucer-eyed, like, you want to talk to him? He's like, yeah. I took off, went up there, and in the backyard of this house, I parked on one side of the house, threw some lights on, went around the other side, and just from the shadows from the alley light, you could see where this being came out of the forest and across the backyard. And up in the peninsula here, the ground is spongy, it's squishy, you know, lack of a better description, and the footprints were still there. And I was like, holy cow, look at that. And they were like 14 inches long, and you could see where he or she had come out of the trees, but the trees, the saplings were broke off about 8 feet high. Like you would walk through a cornfield and take your arm and brush the corn out of the way. That's kind of what I saw, except these saplings, some of them had been snapped off, you know, 6 or 8 feet above. It was like, holy cow. It went across the backyard to in a cul-de-sac, and I heard this, Keith, stop. And I stopped, and I'm like, oh, what? He's behind me. I kept talking, hey, man, what are you doing? You know? And it was the person from the car, it's just, what are you talking to? This is it. You know, Bigfoot, I just want to talk to this thing. You know, why is he coming around and do this? And he just shook his head. And he says, there's a drop off here. He's probably trying to get to the river. And it's like, oh, all right. Because it was springtime. I think there were some of the smelt and stuff were coming through. Some springtime runs of salmon were coming through. So he said, probably he's going down to go fishing. Well, we're walking back to the house. And this guy, and I had called a friend of mine. We'd worked together on Pine Ridge. And I said, hey, got a Bigfoot call. He says, yeah, it cuts through the house. It cuts through the backyard there at mother-in-law's house. He says, we always give it potatoes, so make an offering, some potatoes in the, on the back, and, you know, we call it good. And I turned it out. I looked at this cat, this dude, and says, hey, got any potatoes? And out from the garage door to the, across the porch into the backyard, comes out flying a 50-pound bag of potatoes. Dude, I don't think we need that many. All you can do is attract more. I'm picking up this bag of potatoes. I put a few out in the back by corner of the back in corner of the yard by the tree line. And hey, get back. All right, well, you know, and I know it was here. And that was pretty cool. And he's just going, you're not right. So you know, I'm talking to this thing, and it's like, well, you know, why not? You know, I don't think it's going to hurt you, me, or anybody else. We fear what we don't know. Let's just talk to it. All you got to say, hey, man, what are you doing? Talk to me. Why are you here? You know, and that I did write something up for that, and I'm trying to get a report back on that. But I've been told that agency has went to a new reporting system, and they're looking for it. But
When you make a report like that, do they snicker, do they frown, or do they take it pretty serious?
I think it depends on who reads it.
Yeah.
People who've lived out here long enough or forever will say, yeah, well, it happens out here. Others who, non-believers or what do you call it, you know, they say, you probably saw bear prints. I know bear prints, you know, as compared to a large human or humanoid, you know.
Right.
Person thing. And it's, I think it's all what you believe. And I was made a believer on Pine Ridge. A lot of weird calls like that. Odd calls. After a while, they were just like, okay, got another one, let's go. And it was always, was there a Sundance or a sweat lodge or some type of ceremony nearby or somebody cycling? And, you know, but, and according to the skies, everybody was not cycling. They were just going fishing. So I didn't know they fished.
Yeah. So, in some of your background, in your kind of, it seems like it's really interesting, you know, the career path you chose and where it led you. Do you want to talk about ghost chasing?
Sure. If we go back to Pine Ridge, I took a call in a district called Wapomney. This is my partner, 099, was with me, and he says, oh, you'll like this house. And I said, what do you mean? He says, it's ghost. We're going for a ghost call? Yeah. Yeah, I know, but it's a big deal. But they didn't say it over the radio. You have a Wanagi. Wanagi is ghost or spirit in Lakota. You have a Wanagi song. So you just got to call it this house. All right. So we were rolling out there, and I get in there, and 099 is not scared of anything. That was a ranger, first Desert Storm. He never, ever left me on any call. We got in the house, and there's people upstairs, and they said, the man's really raising hell. He's really creating a ruckus, and we can't sleep. It's just, you know. And so we go downstairs, thinking it's an actual, me especially, the guy down there digging up and miserable. And 99 stops on the stairs. He says, sorry, bro, you're on your own. And he turns around and walks back upstairs, and I'm thinking, oh, this can't be good. Yeah, English was his second language. Lakota was his first language. He grew up on Rosebud Reservation. And, yeah, I just went, wow, all right. So I went downstairs, shrugged my shoulders, all right, what's going on? And they had, it was a big open basement. They had like blue tarp sectioning one part of it off. And I'd already been told that that part, the part that's been sectioned off was that man's area, wherever the man was. This is, and I got in there, I pulled the tarp back, I stepped behind it, and I flashlighted it out until the lights didn't work on that section of the basement. And I said, all right, what's going on in here? I'm looking around, and there's an old pop can in the corner. And the thing tips over, rolls towards me, and stands up. And I'm thinking, now I know when 099 left me. It's like, oh, that's new. I said, look, I'm just here to talk. You were once loved. You probably still are, but they've left. Everybody's gone. This is the new family that's in here, and you're scaring them. Yeah, it's just still, you gotta go. You know, you got to go. And the pop can stood back up, rolled back and stood back up in the corner again, and then this big old gust of air comes through, blew out the back window, and I'm going, okay, that's, and I'm standing there in the dark. Got my flashlight, it is, but I'm going, whoa. Like, I'm walking upstairs, and these people looked at me, and they said, how did you do that? And I said, I just spoke to it. I told it he was loved at one time, but he needs to go because his family doesn't live here anymore. And I go outside, and I see my partner, 099, and he's got cedar bombs. Cedar branches, and he was lighting those, furiously trying to get those lit to burn, because ghosts and spirits, according to him, they don't like the smell of cedar smoke. And he says, if you ever come across things like this again, you start using cedar. And so from that night on, I started carrying cedar balls with me and cedar chips. And he waved the smoke over me and he says, okay, let's go. And it's like, that's it? He says, yeah, that's it. And I was like, why'd you leave me? He says, that was a bad one, dude. That was a bad one. He says, you'll be okay and it's going to get around, because that family, apparently that particular family, I don't think they were drum keepers, but they were, had some connection to them, to a medicine man down in that neck of the woods. And sure enough, it got around that I could chase ghosts out of houses. And I would tell them, all you have to do is talk to them, acknowledge your presence, and let them go. Tell them they got to leave. But nope.
We're talking with Keith, who was a law enforcement officer and private investigator on a reservation in South Dakota. More coming up on Strange Harbor.
You're listening to Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.
Welcome to Strange Harbor. If you've had an out-of-the-ordinary experience, then come to strangeharbor.net and let us know what it is.
It's Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird, and our guest today is Keith. He's former law enforcement private investigator on a Native American reservation. You know, Keith, I really admire your reactions to some of these things. You're so relaxed in it all. I would be kind of tensed up and freaked out.
Yeah, it sounds like you have a special connection.
It was, gents, let me tell you something. Anybody out there that's listening, I'd be lying to you if I told you I was not scared. I think it's my Christian upbringing, you know, and my beliefs in things. That place made a believer out of me all this stuff. Growing up through the years, I always heard the stories, but pish posh. That place made a believer out of me. But it was just any number of ghosts like Bigfoot calls. You know, hey, one thing on Kyle, go ahead. And you got to go over here, something in the basement over there. Or something, grandma passed last week, can you go? Okay. And sometimes I walk in and tell them, hey, you got to go. We love you, but you got to go. You're not going to find peace here. Peace is on the other side. Or I'd walk in there and burn cedar smoke. You know, any combination of that. And sometimes it just people just wanted, we need a house cleanse. Will you do it? And it's like, okay. And I'd go over and do it. And say, oh, great, thanks. A lot of times it's just to settle their own mind.
That's quite the service, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't set out to do that, you know. I've always been the type of individual to stand up for the ones who couldn't, you know, or just the weaker, you know. Maybe, yes. I tell you what, it's a different call. If that's what you want to call it. And then we had the Bigfoot calls, the ghost calls, the UFO calls.
Do you want to talk about UFOs?
We can do that. That particular area is very sparsely populated. And matter of fact, there's more. Last count, there was more cattle, more cows in South Dakota than there were people. There's a lot of open spaces out there. That's just nothing there. If you've ever been to Sturgis and did the Badlands Loop, that's a lot of what it's like. And there's nothing there except for Sturgis and everybody there. But you get down on that reservation, and some of those, like the northeast section of the reservation, south, Kadoka, that it's desolate. I mean, there's nothing out there. And 9 times out of 10, that's where they get the calls. Now, on that reservation, there's supposed to be molybdenum or uranium or some type of mineral that the government wants. The tribe isn't giving it up because that's their sovereign land.
Mm-hmm.
And me personally, I think it's the government flying in and whisper advanced helicopters to fly in. They get out there, they're scientists or whatever, they run around, doodle bug around out there, take what samples they can get, and they take off.
Yeah.
But you get these people that live in some of the old ones, they're tired of people. They just want to go live on their own.
Right.
And they get out in the back hills. And, lights come down here and then make a sound and they run around. And then other lights come out and you see them walk around the bigger light or move around the bigger light and then it just takes off. It goes straight up. I was out there for 11 years, and where I saw lights, you couldn't get to because it was down into a back canyon. You could get on the Badland Wall and see out and into it, but like I'm saying, there's lights out here. What do you want to do about it? I can't get to it.
Right.
Sitting out there at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm not going to try to pick my way down a canyon wall. Call it in. Yeah, they're there, and they're leaving. Clear, and I move on to the next call. Stuff like that. You didn't light up because that was it's all lights. We did have 099 and I. We took some mutilated cattle calls. We took pictures. We wrote it up and whatever stuff we wrote up. Guys from Rapid City would come down. They were from another federal agency. They'd read the reports, come talk to us. Not a big deal. We'd see. They were just making sure that what we saw was in the report. And they take our reports, our pictures, and leave. Kind of looked at each other and said, why are they doing that? And he shrugs his shoulders and says, they always do that. I go, should we go see if they left the cow? And he says, I already know they took it. You know, why would they do that? And he shrugs his shoulders. They're a government agency. They can do what they want.
Right.
Whatever. they get out there. You know, they take, almost like core samples. Certain things would be taken, sometimes an eyeball, sometimes a brain, sometimes, and why they would go up the rear end of an animal, I'll never know. But they went up the rear end of an animal, took a core sample out of it. You'd see core samples right out of the side. And coyotes wouldn't touch it. the mountain lions wouldn't touch it, the carcass after that, and you would see bugs walk around it. Nothing, there was no flies, nothing.
Wow.
And I'd like to say, well, it was a calf, or it was a two-year-old, or it was a old cow, or an old bull, or a young bull. It didn't make a difference. It was, this looks like, this looks like something good. Let's start cutting this thing up, take chunks. So there wasn't ever any type or style or male or female or brand of cow. They took it off. They even did buffalo.
Wow.
And now that I think about it, I think it was the calves, the mutilated cattle, because nothing would touch it. Coyotes will, coyotes and crows will eat anything. In fact, crows will follow coyotes around.
Right.
And vice versa. And they wouldn't touch it.
That's pretty unusual that coyotes wouldn't touch it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they'll come, you hit a deer with your car, they'll come, everybody's calling, they're calling in the pack, hey, free meal. And a mountain lion will drag away a deer that's been struck by a vehicle. But nothing touched these carcasses, except for us guys, poking them with our batons. check that out, But, it was, I think that's probably the only thing that did creep me out. Other than that, if I was scared, I can't, like I said, I know I was scared. Maybe I didn't acknowledge it, but that's a feeling your creator, whatever it is you believe in, that feeling was given to you for a reason. It's meant to keep you alive. And so, yeah, I probably was scared, and my little spidey senses were tingling the entire time. I don't remember being frozen with fear, not even now. When I was working up there in that coastal reservation, I'd get out walking around at night. They thought I was nuts. Like, why? It's just night. Well, there's things in the trees. It's like, yeah, okay. Just want to talk to it. And they were talking about black bears and stuff. Well, it's all what you make of it. It's all what you perceive. I mean, your beliefs come into play. What you've been taught growing up comes into play. Everything. And then after a while, you're on your own and you're making your own choices. I choose to believe this, I choose to believe that. And if you don't believe something, prove it to me. I do remember one Bigfoot call. I just got my first dog. This is 2002, as I recall. And this was the only reason I remember this was really, really cold. It was so cold up there, the trees were exploding. You'd hear it sound like a rifle shot. Like, wow, what's that? So, trees are exploding. Oh, that's pretty cold. In this village, literally in the geographic center of the reservation on Pine Ridge, there were some houses, and there was a detention center. And there was about 300 yards between the row of houses in that detention center. I got the call of a female crying out there between the detention center and the row of houses. I thought, all right, it's pretty cold to be out there singing the blues. So I go rolling over there, and I got my dog, and I open the back door. I said, come on, let's go. And he backs in. He backed into the corner of the ride, and he hung his head and started whimpering, and he just laid down. He wasn't going.
Wow.
All right, what do you know that I don't? And it was windy, but it wasn't coming from the direction of what I saw. I walked between the houses, got over to the house that made the report, and in the middle there, about 100 yards away from where I was at, I saw this person thing rocking. It was like down on his haunches, squatted down, rocking back and forth. And I wasn't sure if it was the wind whistling through the grass and the wires and whatnot, making that sound, crying type sound.
Yeah.
And I just thought, whatever. I said, come on, it's cold outside. And I started walking towards it. thinking, you know, it might be some of this, you know, intoxicated or medical distress, kind of walking towards him and say, hey, come on, you come over here, let's get you inside, let's get you warm. And I got within maybe 50 yards of it, and this thing stands up. What are you doing? I just want to talk. And it looked around, it looked at me, and it had yellow eyes. It went back. There's a ravine out there, and it's a waterway, and it's not very deep, maybe 8 feet, but he just hops off the edge of that from where we're sitting rocking, and it's 14 feet wide about, and he took two steps, jumps up the other side, and heads south, and there was a cemetery down there, and I also believe that somewhere around that cemetery, because they were seeing a lot down around there. And I was like, holy sh-. And I'm going, hey, I just want to talk. You know, once I got my wits back, about, I just want to talk while you're running. And there were no footprints leading up to where it was sitting down, and its haunches, they were filling up with snow already. And I was just going, wow, check that out. And I turned around and I walked back to this house. And I remember the family name, and it's like, did y'all see that? They handed me a beer out the door. Here you go, bro. You might need this. And it's like, maybe later. I'm still working. And I went in the house, and I was warming up. Japan, it's cold out there. And I'm going, please tell me you saw that. Anybody get that? You know, this is. They had the phones, but you know they weren't. They weren't like what we had nowadays. And this was. And this is going. Anybody want to give me a written statement on this? Yeah. No, you're nuts. I just want to talk to this thing. You know, I told him, hey, I just want to talk to you. And doesn't want to talk, apparently. Took off. And I said, well, see ya. Give me a call if something else happens. So there I went, hopped in the ride. And it took a couple days before my dog actually warmed up to me. It was, you know, I had to do some basic obedience to where he would listen to me. He wasn't listening. He was a completely different dog, and he looked at me. And when we got home that night, he growled. I opened the back door, and he growled at me. I said, whoa, all right, now we need to talk. And I went and did the cedar smoke and the sage program. And it took a couple of days for him to warm up to me. So I don't know what the deal is with dogs and sitankas, other than I know that I've been told, although I've never found any, that they'll eat dogs. They eat them. So, yeah.
Wow.
That one, I don't recall if I ever wrote that up, because there was so much stuff that went on. I was digging through some field notes, and I might have a field note into it. We didn't have, heck, in those days, we were still writing on triplicate papers and hand-scratching reports. So if you didn't have to write a report, you didn't. You know, we would just call it out, close it out, and go. Unfound it, let's go. And, yeah.
So I understand that you've even had issue with skinwalkers and shapeshifters. Do you care
to
elaborate?
I was asked by a government agency to go down to Arizona to straighten out and restructure another agency, a smaller agency. And I got down there. I had a couple of local guys, they were tribal members of this Apache Nation, and they would never patrol the desert at night. And what they called the desert and the forest, I would call, you know, shrubbery. And because I could see over the what they call the trees, I call them shrubs. And those guys, they were small, but they were mighty, you know. They couldn't see over them. I couldn't. There's other shapeshifters, there's skinwalkers out there. They were just like, and they wouldn't go out and patrol in the desert, which is where you know, the criminal element went and did. And, you know, got out there, started wandering around, and they thought I was nuts. I was like, no, it's an area of our responsibility. We need to go out there. And I ventured out, wandered around, what they would call, what they said, there's a whole group of skinwalkers and whatnot running past, or shapeshifters running past. What I saw one night was a huge herd of elk. And I, okay, this is, dude, it's elk. And this is the shapeshifters. And they're doing that so they'll scare you. And, okay, well, they looked like elk to me. They didn't try running me over. They didn't do anything. And that, just about any given night, you could hear them run around out there. In the mornings, in the daylight, you can see deer prints, mountain lion prints, elk prints, and horses' hooves, hoof prints. I didn't think anything of it until I got to looking at the maps and some of the, what are those lines, those magnetic lines, those ley lines or something, that go all over the world. What are those lines called?
Oh, I don't remember offhand, but I know what you're talking about. Bill might know.
The magnetic flux lines?
Yeah. There was a couple of those nearby.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, well, I'm pretty much centrally located in Arizona, and there was reservations to the west. We were surrounded by reservations, and the lines were nearby. And there were some that would cross that res in one particular reservation, and some would get near it. I wonder if they use those lines as a highway, an interstate, if you will. Because there was so much stuff running around out there at night that, okay, cool. Now, we all know what, you know, the skinwalkers, what do they call them, witches of the Southwest. You know, and I've been told, you know, that the one guy had said, yeah, these things, they go on all fours. He's like, well, Bigfoot only uses two. They said he was down there. They called him something else. I'm more attuned to the Lakota language than I was Apache, but they called him something else down in that neck of the woods. And while they had, you know, didn't have calls, Bigfoot calls per se, they had, they knew of him. They were more scared of the skinwalkers because apparently they're an evil spirit and whatnot, but none of the elk or anything wanted to stop and talk. You know? You know? We had one guy, what was his, Tom Adam 46, I think. This dude, he, nice guy. I don't think he was all there because he saw me walking into the desert at night and he says, he bows up, if you can do it, I can do it. And it's like, okay, knock yourself out. And he would actually get out there and wander around, and did you see anything? He said, nope. What would you have done if you tried to, you know, if you did see anything? He said, like, you know, I'm going to try to talk to it. And then he spoke in Apache. He says, I'm going to try to speak Apache to it. I was like, good. You know, they're just as scared of you as you are of it. I don't recall him ever saying he saw anything. He did. I think elk ran through one night, and that was it. I did find a carcass of a crow on the back door of a government building there. I call, which crows, depending on your beliefs, are messengers, or if you use them for negative, they can be, you know, you can use them to harass people. So I went to a local medicine man there. I said, I got a crow body in the back door of this building here. And he's all, let's go take a look. And he went down there. He's looking, burning some sage, and he's singing a song. And I'm just watching. I figure he'd give me an answer sooner or later. He turns to me and says, no. He says, you see here? And he points to the side of the door. Yeah. And you could see a perfect imprint of where this bird had hit the door.
Wow.
You saw the wings. You saw the tail feathers. And he says, I think it just flew into the door, got lost at night. It hit the door. And I was thinking, huh? He says, now, if this is an owl or a hawk or an eagle, yeah, we'd have something. We'd have to do a ceremony. He says, I think this guy just lost his way and flew into the building. So we had a good laugh about that, scooped it up, and threw it away. So not everything is, I have a better description, spiritual. Not everything is supernatural.
Yeah.
You know? It's all about keeping an open mind. And then, geez, you know, the places where I've been blessed to go were the places where they they tolerated me, put up with me, what have you. I thank them for that. Thank them for the experiences.
Well, I'd like to thank you for taking the time. I can listen to you for hours, man.
Yeah, me too. It's fascinating.
Another time, you know, be for stogies and scotch, and, you know, I'm not above coming out your neck of the woods. I'll go sit in the trees with somebody. I don't care. Who knows, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'd love to have you into the studio, too. That would be great.
Yeah. Well, Johnny likes to sit in trees. So.
It's been an honor. It's a pleasure. Feel free to reach out to me. Call me anytime.
We will.
Y'all be safe.
You too. Thank you.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of Strange Harbor. If you would like to contact us or yell at Bill for his new age TUI, just log on to strangeharbor.net.
And stay strange.
You're listening to Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.